Hello and welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast, a very special milestone. It's episode 50. While I remember, our home is audiodramaproduction.com and we'll tell you about the contact details later on. But you've just heard a new theme tune from Kevin Hartnell.
Yeah, former guest on the show. He was on the show last week, as it happens, and Kevin's been doing loads of music for us, so he's knocked up a new theme tune. I thought, seeing as it was episode 50, we could maybe look at other ways of presenting the show. And of course, that's why we're naked.
Yeah, we're loving life with a little bit of sun here in Scotland in the past couple of days, although it has now gone cloudy, but yeah, reason enough to get the bits out and give them a bit of air.
So on the show today, loads. I know lots of podcasts say this, loads on the show today, but genuinely, loads on the show today.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the best show ever, actually. Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah.
We're giving some stuff away. We are asking, what is your best role in audio drama, and are you maximising your potential? We're talking about Apple Radio, the BBC, your home recording setup, the New Media Europe Conference, what podcast we've been listening to this week, and the correspondence. So that's plenty, isn't it?
Yeah, plenty to get on with. So let's get straight to it. I think the main topic, what you love doing best. What do you love doing best, Matthew?
Well, this has came up recently. Remember a couple of weeks ago when we had a bit of a heart-to-heart with a listener about you know, doing what we do and the time that it takes and things like that. And I've always been of the opinion, since I got into this medium a few years ago, that I didn't ever really want to produce other people's scripts, because I felt like I had a lot of stories I wanted to
tell.
Yeah. And I felt like we had a lot of stories we wanted to tell. So I thought it would be a real waste to be working on other people's scripts. But at the same time, recently, you know, I'm listening to a lot of stuff, and like we've talked about, we're really busy and we've no free time, and we're taking on quite a lot at the moment, and I'm sure the listener relates to that, and, you know, trying to get stuff done themselves. So it comes down to the fact that, like, do you have to do everything? Because sort of our big inspirations when we came into audio drama, and even now, like, you know, your Jack Kincaids, your Casey Whalens, we look at them and they are writers, they are producers, in some instances voice actors, you know, it's this all-round thing. And many other great producers in audio drama are the same. You know, John Ballantyne writes and produces. We were chatting to Brian Lincoln yesterday, he does the same. You know, loads of people are writing and producing. And it's almost like that is the norm, but as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, these are two hard arts to master. It certainly can be done. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying that should some of us consider just concentrating on one or the other? Because certainly at the moment I'm veering more towards the production side of things, and I think you've got a different opinion on the matter, Robert.
I do, yeah. My lifestyle at the moment is very... I do have free time. I'm not going to say I don't, because we're all busy. But I have it in little pockets. I've always wanted to write stuff. I've always wanted to be a writer of sorts. And I think I'm more likely going to be able to do writing because I've got time to think about it during the day. When it comes to audio drama production, you need to sit down. You need to have a good few hours really getting at it, checking out sounds and stuff and trying different things, mucking about with your DAW. And I don't ever have 4 hours at a time. So between wanting to do more writing and not really having as much time as I would like on a regular basis to produce, I wondered if that's something that I might consider, is doing a lot more of the writing, getting the stories out, and then seeing if you fancy taking up the slack when it comes to the audio drama production side. So yeah, I'm more than happy for the next couple of months trying that out.
Yeah, they say, I mean, writing, it's a topic on its own, but they say that the best way to be a writer, it's like learning anything, you know, is just to do it. And I think if you want to be a writer, you have to be writing quite a lot.
Yeah, they say you have to write every day, even when you don't feel like it, especially when you don't feel like it. And it's true. I remember we were trying to come up with our first stories each for Valenheigh there, and I'm thinking, I don't really know how to proceed. Right, I'll just write anything. And I just wrote something on the page, on a notepad, with pen and paper, and something came out of that, you know? I was inspired by George Martin of Game of Thrones. I've mentioned this before, but he had like this one scene, not even a scene, like a picture in his mind of a king having to execute a traitor with his own sword in the snow, and the red ran into the snow, blah, blah, blah. And from that, he's developed 7 books, and it all stemmed from just this one picture, and he had no idea what it meant. So something like that, it's just a matter of starting somewhere, throwing anything, like, two brothers fall out, and one brother goes off, and he marries a woman, and something, 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 blah, 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 blah. Just get to it.
And, like, on the other side of the fence, you know, I don't feel like I'm ever writing just now. I mean, I've knocked up a couple of small scripts for Valenhai, just wee story ideas that I wanted to bring to life and taking the opportunity with the anthology series. But most days I am in Adobe Audition working on stuff. I'm working, some of you might know, I work part-time producing podcasts. Mm. And I've just completed an honours degree in creative sound production, so I am editing audio pretty much every day, whereas I'm barely writing. So I think for me to still try and squeeze writing into that, it's not going to do the writing any justice. You know, I'm just going to be rushing it, yeah, cramming it in. And another thing that we have to consider as creative people as well is, like, you still have to live your life.
Yeah.
You know, you can't keep neglecting your wife or your kids, or, you know,
or you still, work.
Yeah, you still have to make time to do other things. So a wee analogy that I had in my head, I hope you won't punch me for this, but I'm a gardener as well as an audio producer. And think of, like, if you're growing a shrub or a plant in your garden, and if you just let a shrub grow naturally, you'll get all sorts of branches growing out, young branches, and if you just leave them to it, what happens is that shrub bulks out the way, and those branches, each of them are competing for light. The foliage gets quite dense, and when it comes to flowering or fruiting, there's too much competition and you don't really get a good yield on the plant. Mm. If you go in and you prune away, and think of the shrub as a metaphor for, like, your time and your skills. If you prune select branches away, it lets the light in, there's more nutrients for the, you know, less competition for nutrients. So you've got fewer branches, but these all have a better chance to grow and to strengthen. And when it comes to the flowering or the fruit, whatever you prefer to grow, you're going to get a much better quality end product. So I like to think of that as both your free time and the skills that you're trying to develop. Sometimes if you try and throw too much into the mix, you might end up just being average at everything. And yeah, that's certainly the crux of this discussion and this decision is really, let's, you know, not say that I am never ever going to write again, you're never ever going to produce again, and the same for the listener, you know, if you're considering going down the same route, but it's just really picking something to try and excel on, to try and dedicate your time on, yeah, and utilise the skills of those around you to create better audio drama.
Yeah, and it occurs to me that I've done a lot of my writing in my spare time at work. You shouldn't have spare time at work, but I'll be working away on something and I'll have a moment where I think, oh yeah, that would work, right? And I'll jot it down on a bit of paper, whereas I can't really do that with... I can't suddenly jump on a laptop that I took to work and make a sound effect or something. And like you say, with the shrub, the light coming in is time and energy, and you don't have infinite time and energy to spend on everything. And if you did, you'd eventually be brilliant at everything, you'd be Batman, you know, you'd be amazing at everything, but that's not going to happen. You've got an opportunity cost, so do you work on everything or do you work on being really great at one thing, even if it's just for a little while?
So questions to ask yourself then is, what, first and foremost, like, what, you know, did you get into audio drama to tell specifically your own stories, or did you just like the idea of this medium, this way to tell stories, and wanted to be a part of it? Maybe you just want to voice act, maybe you're predominantly a writer and you want to hook up with a producer, or maybe that's the opposite way around. And it's really finding, what was your motivation when you got into audio drama, and that might have changed. What's your motivation now? If you had to pick one thing in audio drama, what would you choose? You know, if somebody had a gun to your head, what would you choose? And ask yourself, would you be better just doing that or you know, you might be getting on just fine, doing what you're doing, doing everything. Some people do, and I applaud them for that. But certainly ask yourself the question and just make sure that you're not trying to do too much and maybe just getting nothing done.
Yeah, I think it's good to specialise in something for a little while at least. I'm looking forward to doing that myself. When we started, we wanted to tell a story that was similar to things we'd heard because we were inspired by them. But we certainly wanted to produce it ourselves, being radio students. We wanted to write it ourselves because we didn't want to just, you know, leave that to someone else. I don't think we'd even considered where we'd get that from. It wasn't even a question. We just thought, well, obviously we've got to write it because it's us.
Yeah.
You know, and so we did. But now we've had a couple of years go at it, and it's something that occurred to me actually just now was Aftermath. The quality of the production went up and up and up and up. I wonder if the writing did.
I think it did, but not nearly as high. The focus was on recording good audio and making it sound good, and I think, you know, even up until the very end, we didn't quite get the writing spot on.
Yeah.
But I was pretty happy with how it sounded in the last few episodes, if not the last full season two.
Yeah, and I would put that down to it being a series as well, and it was too late to start, you know, tearing it apart writing-wise. We had to more or less continue as it was. But you know, upwards and onwards, next project.
Yeah, and that's why I'm so excited for the Valenhai project, because we've got the opportunity to work with, you know, as many writers as we can fit into this schedule, and already some fantastic people have been in touch, and we've approached certain people as well that we'd really like to write some stuff for us. And it's just going to be great to have these scripts in. Someone who is an active writer, who's good at writing, is you know, fully dedicated to creating this script, and then we can worry about bringing that about and doing the rest. And you know, Robert, you can get on with writing some of your own stuff as well, and I think it's going to be a really good project, and I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, we've had a lot of correspondence from people saying, oh yeah, I'd like to play a voice part, if there's anything you think would fit, here's some previous work, or they've got a story idea that they want to run by us. And we did get one, and it was like, oh yeah, I don't know if that would fit in with your worldview. And I was like, yeah, that sounds fantastic. I won't say who it is just yet, just in case it doesn't come to anything, but I hope it will, because I really like the story idea, and I hope we get more, and I hope we get the time to make them.
So as it's episode 50, we thought we'd say thanks to you for the continued support and listenership by giving away some books. The first of which is the ebook, How to Create Audio Drama. That was an ebook that we wrote at the tail end of last year. That's available on Amazon, both .com and .co.uk at the moment, but it's also on Smashwords. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to set the price on that as a pay what you like model until the 1st of July. So that basically means you could go and get that book absolutely free if you want. Or if you've really enjoyed the podcast over the last few months or even the last year, and you'd like to thank us and help fund the next 50 episodes, you could pay as much as you want for it. We don't mind, you know, if you want to pay £1,000, absolutely fine. I'm not going to chase you down and make you take it back, but you can get that for as little or as much as you like, and the link for that will be on the episode show notes. Another two books, these are two books that helped me through my university dissertation. Robert, imagine I forgot to bring the books and then we couldn't read the blurbs and the titles and things like that. Imagine I forgot to bring them and we had to separately record these as you got your phone out and looked at Amazon. So do you want to read those for me now?
Yeah, okay, because that would be embarrassing, so I'm glad that didn't happen. Here goes. The Art of Voice Acting, The Craft and Business of Performing Voiceover. This is a really terrific little book packed with information ranging from voice exercises and copy samples to business advice, guidance on preparing an audition tape, and lots of contact information. Jim Allberger is something of a legend in West Coast voiceover circles with his vast experience as an audio engineer and trainer. If you have ever considered a career in voiceovers, this book is a must-have.
And the second book?
Sound Design, the expressive power of music, voice and sound effects in cinema. Offers user-friendly knowledge and stimulating exercises to help compose story, develop characters and create emotion through skillful creation of the soundtrack.
Thank you very much, Robert. That was a great read-through and you didn't make any mistakes there. It was almost like that was pre-recorded.
Yeah, almost. But I'm just a pro, obviously.
So what do you have to do to get these books? You have to sign up to our email list. Again, that the details of that will be in the show notes. If you're already signed up to the email list, you already qualify for this. So one of these books could be heading your way. And again, the deadline for that is the 1st of July 2015. If you're listening in the future, disregard all this because it's irrelevant. But if you are in the future, maybe send us back a copy of the Sporting Almanac, you know, the one Biff had in Back to the Future.
Oh, it's 2015. Yeah, that should be coming out around about now.
Yeah, that's a thing you see all the time on the internet. Did you know that today's the day in Back to the Future that Marty McFly bought trainers? Yeah.
And it's like, and the date's been altered. And it's no,
yeah.
No.
And here's somebody that knows. No, actually, this is an ongoing internet hoax that
yeah.
I've seen on social media for the last 3 years. So actually, thank you very much.
And I'm here to stamp it out once and for all until next week.
The internet police.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you're listening in the future, hope it's all fine over there in the future.
I'm sure it is. If they're able to listen to us, then the internet's still going.
If you're listening to us, everything's fine, because I think it would be the first thing to go should anything hit the fan.
Yeah, once we start going down into bunkers, like, so you're in your bunker over there, I'm in my bunker, how are we going to record the podcast? Yeah, as you're lying there, like, irradiated in a corpse, basically. Happy days.
And also, because it's episode 50, we want to ask you, as a listener, because we do essentially make this podcast for you, we want to find out maybe where we can improve going into the next 50 episodes. Is there anything that you'd like to hear? Is there anything that you're not so keen on? So we've done a survey, and again, links to that will be in the show notes. Robert, this is just really to, you know, ask the audience, ask the listener, and create the best experience for people as audio drama producers and listeners as we can.
Yeah, there's certainly people that say, oh, there's always something decent to listen to in the podcast, but we'd really like to enhance that, prune that bush, if you will, and make sure that we're bringing you exactly what you want. Because, you know, we have to think about what we're going to feature on the podcast each week. If we want to interview people, we need to kind of set that up ahead of time, and maybe you'd be able to help inform us as to whom we should be contacting for interviews.
Yeah, so get on the survey. That's the link to that, like I say, will be in the show notes, and we really do appreciate your help, because you're helping to make the podcast better, not just for you, but for everyone else listening, and that makes it all a much happier place.
Just a quick note here about the newly launched Apple Radio. Now, if you don't know, and I only know a little bit about this, Apple are launching their very own radio station. The BBC have already strenuously denied that they're worried about it, which seemed curious to me. Radio 1 feeling like it's got a big new player on the market. It looks like it's to do with, well, Apple products in general. They've got a new music player, and it's said that this new radio station, which is online, will help to serve to be the voice to tell you what you should be listening to. So, curious that in this day and age of technology, where you'd be thinking availability, you know, on-demand stuff is going to rule and radio stations are possibly dying away, which is certainly our point of view. It's curious that they're going to the old style of having a a person talking and talking to you and engaging. So I'm wondering how it's all going to end up. Maybe this is the first step to weaning people away from radio stations altogether.
Yeah, it's not something I've looked into at all, but, you know, it's always good to hear these developments, and it's an interesting one, certainly, so keep our eyes peeled for that.
If anybody's got any thoughts, let us know. I'm certainly very curious as to see how it's all going to pan out, that's for sure. Hopefully there'll still be room for audio drama somewhere. And talking about the BBC, I managed to catch up with an old friend of mine. His name's Jay Sykes. We were at university together. Jay is very much the kind of person that makes audio drama that's of the personal dramas, the kind of real life stuff. Excellent work. And I managed to speak to him about the BBC commissioning round for dramas. He was there and he had his thoughts. Let's cut to him now. Jay, welcome to the podcast. Good to have you on.
Thank you very much for having me.
I just wanted to ask you, first of all, about the commissioning round at the BBC in terms of drama. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, every year the BBC hold a commissioning round, and there's a few different ones depending on the radio station and the topic. But it's a great place where, I mean, mostly it works for people who've already produced for radio, but there are spaces here and there for those that haven't had their work on BBC Radio. And if you can get yourself signed up to an independent production company, and you can get your writing across to lots of different companies, and maybe one of them approves, then you've got a shot at getting your work out on BBC. It's something that I've got halfway through the system at the moment, not with a drama, but with a documentary. And who knows, if you're lucky enough, or if you're skilled enough, or if you get your work in the right place, it could happen to anyone.
I also wanted to ask about this year when you were there. What was your thoughts on how the process went in terms of, I guess, the future for radio drama and audio drama as a whole?
Jeremy Howe, who's currently the commissioning editor for radio drama on BBC Radio 4, he's had a television upbringing. He's worked his way up through commissioning through the television route. And so I think a lot of it now on BBC Radio 4 and what the future of it is looking like is more and more it's becoming really big budget, and the bigger players are having more of a chance. So all the things you'll expect from a regular TV drama, like the bigger budget or the crime focus, or, I mean, there are a lot of great hits on BBC Radio 4 recently, but more and more they're becoming big budget, and it's an increasingly harder space for new writers or individual writers to find a place within there. I don't know whether that's the official word from the BBC, but that's what I've been picking up about it.
It comes across to me like it's an old boys network, and you have to know someone to get in the door, you know, then they have to vouch for you, and that's the only way to become known to them as someone who might be able to do some work for them. Would you say that's the case?
I'd say it felt that way when I was down there, to be honest. I did ask Jeremy about it. Like, there's little spaces here and there for people who to get a way in, but he was very defensive in his answer, in that, well, no, it's not. There's lots of spaces for new writers, and of course that's what they're going to have to, you know, that's their edge. That's what they're saying. Whether it feels like that, I'm not so sure. Of course, I went there because I was invited with a colleague, well, not a colleague, but unofficially a colleague who has a radio production company. And that's the only reason I'd have ever got an invite to go to an event like the opening of the commissioning round. I wouldn't have had a chance to go to something like that if I didn't already have a company. So because I was lucky to know the right person, I got a ticket in. Maybe, Rob, it is a boys' club.
Yeah.
And about that, there was I don't know her name, but there was a woman there who asked a very, very good question halfway through the meeting about why so many of the major players and even the major characters, they're all mostly male. And she was so right. Like we had a look through the guide together as a couple sat down in the room, and most of the dramas are centered around men, male voices.
And were they male writers as well, mostly?
Quite a lot. I'm not saying it's all like that, but it's very much in the high percentages of men, yeah. Absolutely.
So we're painting a picture here of kind of back in the Dark Ages almost. I mean, that's our perception here, and I'm being extreme. But what about the other side of things then, in terms of the development of the industry? And I'm talking about podcasting and things like that. You know, did the BBC, anybody there, make any noises about maybe moving towards new technology? Or is it still BBC Radio 4, The Archers, and maybe the odd kitchen sink drama, and that's it, and we're going to continue like that forever?
One of the things that the BBC have done recently, I think it was in the last few months, is they extended the amount of time you can download a programme from 7 days to 30 days.
Wow.
Which I think is a step in the right direction. I know it sounds like such a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
No, but I mean, at least that's a step in the right direction. They seem to be focusing more on downloadable content than they ever have been. And that's a change in the way of technology.
Right.
They are making advances, and yes, it's the BBC, and changes will happen slowly.
The thing we've been discussing a lot on the podcast is how much the industry is moving quickly, especially in the US, where, and I keep harping on about the fact that in a few years' time, all cars will have the ability to stream podcasting, and eventually all the cars here will follow suit.
Mm.
And it just does feel like the BBC are lagging behind, and not taking advantage of the zeitgeist, if you like. So it's a bit discouraging, and I feel bad that the BBC are kind of letting us down in that way. Hopefully, though, you know, new blood will come in up through the ranks. Maybe people that have been to university to study this sort of thing, if you know what I mean.
Who knows? Maybe. Well, the BBC, it's like I say, I mean, I'm no official word on the BBC by any stretch of the imagination. I've been there twice. That's my limit of knowledge of them. But they've always been a company that, you know, it takes a while for change to happen, and they did used to be the big players in terms of making change happen.
So, looking at what else you've been up to, you've been lecturing to students for the past, what, 6 months?
I've been lecturing in radio drama at the University of Sunderland since January, and I've loved it. I've loved every minute of it. We're going through the marking stage at the moment, and yes, it's subjective, and so that's always a thing that's playing on my mind. It's an opinion that's giving a tick box to people's hard work.
Yeah.
But I've thoroughly enjoyed the process. It's been great to, I mean, you always learn. Yes, I'm teaching people, but I'm still learning things about the craft. And I don't think you'll ever, ever stop learning. Just because you've become a teacher, it doesn't mean you know everything about the medium. Goodness me, no.
What do you think's the future then for radio drama between the people you've seen coming through the ranks, what you listen to on BBC Radio 4 and the likes, or even in podcasts around the world? What's the future like?
I believe audio has a very strong future. And I'm using the word audio because it's different to radio.
Absolutely.
I think the future of audio is strong because there are still people who are making great content. In the class of 13 students taking the radio drama module, well, the radio drama documentary module, one person had previously listened to audio drama. All of these people, bar one student, you've got to bear in mind, were 18. And audio drama, especially on Radio 4, that's not their target market. That's not their demographic. Bearing that in mind, none of them had listened aside from one, which is quite shocking. That's a really small number of people, but that's young people.
All right, I really just want to get a feel for are there people still coming through the ranks that even listen to radio drama or audio drama, and are they making stuff, and you know, is it a growing or is it a dying genre or medium?
There are people making great quality audio drama.
So what about yourself? You've done several excellent serious pieces. You're up for an award for one of them, aren't you?
Yes, I'm quite overwhelmed at the moment, I'll be honest. I've been nominated for the Best Student Drama Programme at the New York Radio Awards, which essentially means my programme is one of the best student radio pieces in the world. And I'll be there along with the likes of NPR, WBEZ, New York Public Radio, the BBC, you know, big names like that. So for me, it's a great award to have, you know, showcasing my work. It's something that will stick behind me for the rest of my life. Hopefully it'll say, you know, there's a badge on me saying this guy is a good radio producer.
Right.
He's made an award-winning radio drama. And so I think it's so important for, if you know, enter awards, enter things, because if you get something against your name, it's going to stick with you for life. And who knows, it might make you more attractive to commissioners or other publishers. For me, I'm just on top of the world right now, Rob.
And how are you feeling about it? Are you confident? Do you think you've got a good chance?
I'll be honest. It's up against one other person in the same category. So there's this other entry. Again, it's from the UK. A guy from Birmingham City University. And I've had a listen to the first episode of the series, and it's really quite good. But here's the thing. It's not like you're battling for a place. Like, it potentially could be two bronzes, two silvers, two golds. One of them could be silver, one of them could be nothing. No, at this stage, it just could have a grade, it could not. And they're going to keep me on tenterhooks until I find out on the 22nd.
All right, well, best of luck in that. We'll come back to you in a couple of weeks and find out how you got on.
Thank you.
You may well have seen in our podcast group that we're planning a meetup in the year 2016, people in the UK, or, well, anyone around the world and even further afield if they can get here, are welcome to come along. Still in the planning stages, but we're looking around about September, October next year, potentially once, say, the universities have started back and, people are entering third year or masters or even starting looking at radio drama for the first time. It's looking like it might be in the northeast of England. So, my question would be, Mr. Potential Lecturer of the University of Sunderland, would that be something you'd be interested in coming along to, and even possibly with students? All theoretical at this point.
Robert, if events like this are the most important thing you can ever do in order to... build up your own success, build success with people around you. What you're doing, if you do go ahead with creating this event, is providing a network, not just an online network that you already have, but a real life solid network where people can meet and swap skills and work together and build up each other's volumes and bodies and ideas. And I think if anyone passes up an opportunity to go to a meeting of, you know, people who make audio drama and people who aspire and love it and who, you know, spend their time crafting this passion, you know, it's a ridiculous opportunity to pass up, and I fully plan to be there.
Fabulous.
Absolutely.
We're looking at bringing along people like Dirk Max, if he'd be willing to come, Richard Hand, other authors of books like possibly Mr. Martin Shingler, Dr. Martin Shingler. I haven't spoken to him yet. He's another lecturer at the university, of course.
I loved Martin. He was such a good lecturer to us, wasn't he? He's so laid back and positive and just a brilliant guy.
Yeah, he was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. You've got me. You know, you've got me there. Basically, I'm thoroughly excited by the prospect of it.
I mean, it's a year and a bit away, so there's a lot to plan. But we'll see. So that's good.
I'm excited about this whole podcasting being available in cars and the internet. I think it's going to make a big difference. I mean, already you're seeing the importance of podcasting and downloading audio sweep across iTunes and other music players. Time will tell. I think that in the future, there'll be so many more people making audio drama, because that's growing as well. Not just the people listening to it, the people making it. I think it's got the potential to really grow and really develop. And what it needs is a place for curated content to be listened to.
Thanks very much, Jay. That was excellent. And of course, we do wish you all the very best with that award. We are rooting for you, and hopefully Jay does does well in that and comes out with something. But even if he doesn't, it's just fantastic for him to be nominated, isn't it?
Yeah, even just to be considered, absolutely, it's got to go on the CV, hasn't it? And I can see Jay going to greater things in future, so stay tuned.
And it was really interesting in that chat about, you know, the BBC and this old boys club sort of mentality that does shine through. And, you know, I'm really not a fan of old media. I'm not a fan of the BBC at all. And I know that, you know, that might upset people, and I hope you don't get upset. But I just, you know, what are they all about nowadays? Like, it's almost virtually a compulsory licence fee in Britain. It's one of the bills I pay that I really, really grudge, because I don't use anything that the BBC put out. I've no doubt that they do play some great audio drama, and at least they're committed to that.
Yeah.
I'm listening to Good Omens at the moment. I know Good Omens wasn't made specifically for the BBC, but it was played on there. And, like, you know, when you look at the way the BBC handles things, like you say there, they say they're not worried about Apple Radio, and they've got this iPlayer thing, which they seem to be proud of. Like, 2005 phone that wants its technology back.
Yeah.
You know, this, like, we're putting something up for 7 days and we're taking it down. Well, why? Because you don't have to do that on the internet anymore. Like, you could just keep the content up there. I understand likes of stuff like Good Omens, it's going to be sold on Audible, so it makes sense to play it, keep it up there and take it down, because it's going out on sale, and that benefits the people that have created it. But there must be a lot of stuff that just gets buried in the archives, and, like, why?
The argument is that for a lot of the content, like, say, Good Omens, that they've got the license to have it on the BBC for 7 days or 30 days now, and then after that it gets taken down, so that if anybody wants it, they will have to pay for it. But, you know, who's going to pay for a 30-minute radio drama that was made in a small studio in half an hour? You know, like, some of the radio dramas on the BBC, they're made very quickly with minimal production values because it's all about the script. I'm not knocking that, but who's then going to go and pay $9.99 for it or whatever on the internet? You might as well just make it available. Like, our stuff, nobody's going to pay top dollar for Aftermath Season 1. So we're not saying, well, it was free for a while, so now you've got to pay for it. And, yeah, good luck with that.
And if anyone didn't need the money, it's the institution that basically puts their hand in your pocket and takes it from you without giving you a lot of choice. Like, but if you have a TV in your house, you have to pay them money. I think it... I might be wrong here, but it might not even be connected to the TV. It might just be for your Xbox. I think you'd maybe get away with it then.
No.
But would you not? So it's,
if you have a device that is capable of broadcasting, then, yeah, you are liable for it. And they were even looking at making it that if you had a laptop, a computer, and possibly even internet access, Then yeah, well, you've got the ability to stream television. So we want £120 a year, please.
And I mean, it's you know, I didn't mean for this to be a rant, but I'm just, you know,
it's coming across that way.
Old media for me is dying, and I just don't have a lot of interest in it. I know many people do, and I know it maybe still has its place, but for me, on demand podcasted content is the way forward, and I think the sooner we look at other avenues for monetizing, other than just trying to catch the eye of the BBC and beg them to give us some money to make something that we could go ahead and make anyway.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many other possibilities. Coincidentally, next week's episode, we've got a whole hour's worth of content on ways that you could maybe monetize your audio drama.
Right.
So that wasn't even an intended link there, but that's happening next week. So that's all I've really got to say on the matter. Right.
Well, I'll just add that I do or did love the BBC. I like the fact that you could listen to a lot of radio stations without a million commercials playing in between 3 minutes of content. And I really just... No, yeah, having worked for them as well, yeah, I'm going to say... I wasn't going to say it, but I'm going to say it. I despise commercial radio stations. I really do. And they're set up just to make as much money as possible with as little output as possible. Whereas the BBC at least will experiment and make things that they wouldn't otherwise do if they were driven by listening figures, I guess, as much as the commercial ones are. So, I just wish they would, you know, catch up a little bit, though. You know, they can't just carry on handing out contracts to exclusive partners and making the same old crap. They've got to move on up, and I hope they do. Otherwise, they're going to find themselves beaten out of the game by people like Apple that are doing all the right stuff.
Good, I see.
Well, okay. If you've got any thoughts, then please come on in.
So a wee bit on your home recording setup. This was based on a couple of things that we put on the website quite recently, and the crux of this is to understand the position of a producer who is working with a remote cast. Just the sheer difficulty of getting all sorts of voices in that are recorded in different atmospheres, different rooms with different microphones. And it's a real shame sometimes when you find people who are good actors but they just don't have that, you know, that good enough audio quality that you would feel comfortable using their characters in all sorts of environment.
Yeah.
A most notable one being outdoors, where you do really need a clean vocal to work with. You know, you can't even have a slight bit of reverb in there or it's going to ruin it.
Yeah, that really puts me off if I'm listening to something that's outdoors and then I suddenly hear the echoiness of being inside somewhere that's really enclosed. And you think, oh, right, I'm lost. I'm popped out of it. It's over.
So we're not really trying to teach anyone to suck eggs. I wondered, by the way, is suck eggs an international term or a British term? I think it's international, teaching someone to suck eggs.
I don't know.
Basically patronising people by telling them how to do something that they know how to do already.
Yeah.
But like I say, we are producers, we're working with remote voice actors, and our aim is to be getting audio in from actors that is as consistent as possible from one clip to the next. And because we spent the last few years experimenting with different recording setups, and by the way, we've had a few horrible ones, and it's been a lot of trial and error. You know, we made a lot of mistakes. And for the last sort of year and a bit now, we've been using the Shure SM58 microphone and the Focusrite Scarlett 2i2 USB preamp. So that connects into your computer via the USB cable, and then the XLR microphone cable that you buy connects into the preamp, and that goes onto your microphone. And we've found that to be a fantastic bit of kit, you know, put together. It's not the best, you know, there are certainly a lot of higher end stuff out there, but you know, for guys like us, we find that more than suitable. We're really happy with the vocal clarity we get with it, and that is, like, officially now, for what it's worth, our recommended recording setup for people who want to voice act for us. And I know we don't have the power or influence to tell you what to buy. You're absolutely free to use whatever equipment you wish.
But if we were asked, this would be the answer.
Yeah, and that's the thing. A few people have asked us. So don't look at this as us trying to tell you what to do. That's not our intention. It's an advisory article on the website. And as well as talking about using this equipment, I also decided to do another wee piece on reducing reverb. And I've got an audio clip, which I'm going to play for you in a second. Basically, all I did was I used a duvet to reduce reverb in the room. And I think if you're listening on headphones, you'll hear how well that actually worked. So it just shows you that you don't actually even need a permanent vocal booth or a studio. And it gives you an example of how this equipment, you know, this preamp and this microphone sounds as well. So will I stick that clip on now?
Did you use a horse, a clothes horse?
I did.
Fantastic.
I used a clothes horse.
Right then.
So I'm using an SM57 running through the Focusrite Scarlett 2i2 preamp. The 57 is really good. The 58 is probably better. The Shure SM58, because you'll pop a lot less on that because of the head on it. I think the 57 is a bit more of an instrument microphone. But as you could hear, I'm recording in a very reverberous room, a lot of echo. It's hard surfaces everywhere. And I've set up this clothes horse around the mic stand. So what I'm going to do now is pull a duvet over the clothes horse, and that should dampen the sound around the microphone and mean that my voice isn't bouncing all over the room. So I'm just going to do that now. And there we go. That's the duvet on now. So you can hear that a lot of the reverb now has been dampened, and a producer can certainly work with that if you send it to them. It's not studio quality, but there's a massive improvement there. In this setup, it takes a couple of minutes to put it up and a couple of minutes to take it back down again. And obviously the items that you're using could go back to their primary purpose without any disruption to your house whatsoever. So, you know, this is definitely an option if it's something you're looking at, if it's something you're looking to improve, and interested to hear what everyone else is using out there. If you've got any good tips or ideas, send some photos in, send some audio in, because we'd love to have a look at them. Okay. So yeah, links to both those articles will be in the show notes. I was also thinking of maybe doing a quick remote recorder's guide, you know, bullet points, just things to remember, things to consider when,
like,
you're doing your clip.
Don't use a real horse, for instance.
Yeah, you don't want to use a real horse.
Because their hooves will clatter and they really make a lot of reverb. Anyway, how do you hire a horse? You put a brick under each shoe.
Good.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Shure SM58 and the Focusrite Scarlett 2i2, we do have affiliate links to these products, but it's not a grubby thing. We are, you know, we genuinely use this equipment, we like it, we recommend it, and of course if you're ever looking to upgrade and get something new, that's what we would recommend you get. And if you want, you can go through our affiliate links on the site at no extra cost to you, and we'd earn a small commission from that. So,
but we're not selling out or anything. But
no.
In between recording, we do like to take ourselves to KFC when we're hungry. That's Kirkcaldy Fried Chicken. So get along to KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken. Whoops.
So elsewhere, I was actually interviewed on another podcast recently. Someone actually wanted to talk to me. It was the New Media Europe Conference podcast. That's taking place in, is it Birmingham or Manchester? It's Manchester. Birmingham was last year.
Yeah.
It's taking place in Manchester in September. So I was on the podcast. Have you heard that yet, Robert?
I've not had a chance to, no. I'm looking forward to it, though.
They've got a picture of me, and I look really handsome.
Really?
So, yeah, one of those.
Right, wow.
Pretty much every picture I've ever been in. So,
I was going to say, it just shows you how powerful New Media is, with that there Photoshop and everything. Did they tailor it at all? I'm sure you looked handsome.
Yeah, so links to that in the show notes as well. You'll hear the interview, you'll see a handsome photo of me. Yeah, I looked pretty dapper. I'm not sure where they got it, but it's there.
It wasn't even supplied by you.
I don't even remember having the photo taken.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, New Media Europe, Manchester, September. Links in the show notes.
Time for some correspondence. First up, a big congratulations to our good friend, voice actor Owen McEwan, on the birth of his daughter. Do we have any details on that yet about age, weight? Well, we know the age. we know the gender. Name?
I don't have any more details, but yeah, like Robert says, a big congratulations to Owen. He's a great friend of the show,
yeah.
A great guy, a great voice actor, and we wish him and his family all the very best. And many a sleepless night, I'm sure, awaits him.
Yeah, he's going to have trouble recording his voice now, let me tell you. But, you know, some things are more important. So, yeah, huge, huge congratulations and welcome to one of the best chapters of your life.
So we've got a wee voice clip in from Eric, don't we? Will I fire that on now?
With all haste.
Hello, Matthew and Robert. My name is Eric. I am an American living in Australia, just west of Brisbane, so hello from the great southern hemisphere. Now, first of all, I just wanted to start off by saying thanks heaps for all the work that you guys put into your own creative content as well as the audio drama production podcast. Now, it's only been a very short time for me to be involved in or be aware of what's happening in this kind of maybe new resurgence of audio drama, or at least that's the way it feels to me. Just last year, I became aware of one of the favorites you guys talk about so often with Casey Whalen and We're Alive. And really, since the beginning of this year, I've had my eyes open to this vast wealth of audio drama that's out there and so much good stuff. Now, I guess it's a bit of my excitement and a bit of my absolute naive concepts of what it really means to make one of these. Anyway, those two things have combined together to plant the idea in my mind that it would be a good idea to try and make an audio drama myself. Now, one of your recent episodes, and kind of the reason that I'm reaching out here, I just listened to an episode that you have done recently about do you want to make a series or do you want to create an anthology? And a great deal of the discussion that you had amongst that, or in that episode, really hit home for me. Ideas that I had been thinking of not wanting to create these huge arcing storylines and, spend so much time in character creation at this point without at least getting my feet wet in what's going on. My idea, at least in the beginning of this, is wanting to focus on the mechanics of recording and trying to create unique sound effects and trying to plan for how to get these things done and what resources might be needed and so many other things besides just the creative story itself. Now I didn't want to, or I guess I don't want to devote a whole lot of time to that because I want to be able to focus on other things, but clearly there has to be a story. Without the story, why would anyone listen? So my question is really about going to other sources, going to Creative Commons, going to the public domain and sourcing material from there. My current idea, the first audio production that I want to create is a audio adaptation of a Kurt Vonnegut short story that I found in public domain. I think this is going to give me a great story and just allow me to focus in the other areas that I wanted to focus on. So my question to you is, let me get to the point, right? My question to you is, do you have ideas, suggestions, maybe some pitfalls and suggestions or warnings might not be the right word, or might be, to use things like Creative Commons and public domain or where else might you suggest finding content that would then allow focus in other areas? I'm very interested to hear your ideas on this. Also very interested to hear more about the anthology project you guys alluded to in that last episode that I mentioned there. Anyway, I'll be listening. I hope to hear from you and hope to hear some great ideas about this. Also, last thing that I would mention is thanks very much for mentioning that you record in your car. One of the things that has done for me is completely break down these barriers that I put up against myself. Things like, I don't have a studio, I don't have the right gear, I don't have whatever. And you know what? It's all crap. Just do it. Just get the stuff, get in your car or wherever that might be, and record. Just do it. Again, thanks so much to you guys. Hope to hear back. And over to you.
Yeah, thanks for that, Eric. We covered this a little bit in response to Anthony's email in episode 48. And it comes down to what's the sort of thing you want to focus on. Do you want to do fan fiction, or do you want stuff that's in the public domain? Do you want to approach people that made the works originally and see if they are up for a bit of collaboration or even just allowing you permission to do it? And I think it goes back into what we were saying before, doesn't it? That, you know, if you prefer to produce than write, then this is exactly the sort of thing you should be looking at.
Yeah, well, an audio drama, like, we talk about achieving good sound quality, which is, you know, very, very important, one of the most important things. But without a great story, you've got nothing. And if you're not really too interested, even temporarily, in sitting down and trying to write a great story, it makes a lot of sense to find someone who was interested in doing it and who's wrote something that's available for you to use, whether that is Creative Commons works, whether it's public domain, whether you approach a writer that you know, or, you know, through the community. There's lots of people who are writing a lot of great stuff out there and looking to have it made, because likewise, they're not too interested in the production side of things. So whatever route you go down, I think it's a great approach. I would say that the only wee thing to be aware of is that there might be issues if you ever wanted to monetize it, depending on what kind of license the script was. But, you know, for most of us at this stage, we just want to get content out there. We just want to create audio drama that people like. So I really don't see a lot wrong with that approach, Eric. And I'm really keen to find out how it goes for you. And I hope you keep us posted.
Yeah. And, you know, you might approach Stephen King and say, hey, can I make an audio drama of your book? And you won't get a reply, basically, because he's, you know, one of the best known authors in the world. However, if you went to authors that were known-ish in their field, but weren't top of the world, then you might have a bit more, you know, a bit more sway there. If you said, look, I'm looking to make audio drama, I'd like to then put it out there on a pay-as-you-go model or something. Who knows, this might be the way forward.
So I've got an email from Michael.
Yes, he had comments relating to episode 48, having an impact, and he says, while I'm just edging into audio drama, I've been a full-time novelist for 3 years now, and it's turned me into a workaholic. Yeah, welcome to the genre. Not because I want to get particularly rich, good, but because writing is my preferred leisure activity. My quality of life is such that if I can spend the time working and the rent is paid, I don't mind so much if there's not much left for anything else. I write so I can afford to write. That's beautiful. Further, I believe that audio drama, like literature, like all artistic endeavour, is the process of providing a potential catalyst to the audience. The impact it has, and indeed the art itself, is created in the listening. Perhaps even more directly in audio drama, because the listener is doing the heavy lifting. Any meaning the listeners derive is meaning they've brought with them from their own life.
That's a great way of putting it. Well done, Michael.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And it's maybe something we could expand more on in another episode. But he goes on to say, as with description, the best we can do is give them the tools and let them create what meaning they may, because I believe that's stronger than trying to force a message onto them. He also had some notes about biased casting. Now that's... as soon as I saw that, I thought, I'm going to get slated. But no, I'll come back to what my fears were. Our production company was created in part to address questions of gender diversity in media. We try to normalise roles for the traditionally marginalised by not making a big deal about it. Characters happen to be women, or of colour, or gay, without it becoming the crux of the story in all sorts of roles. Unless a character's gender, or race, or orientation is vital to the plot, they remain open to casting whatever actor brings the strongest performance. Rewrite to suit. That's what I love about audio drama and filmmaking. They're collaborative processes. You're not restricted to just one authorial input, and when it comes to creating diverse media, there's a certain skillfulness in broadening your perspective. The best thing we can do, I think, is just to remain mindful of your diversity and demographics when you're creating media imagery. So, interesting. Yeah, my fear there was about the fact that I wrote my first story for Valenhai, and then I'd really fleshed out the story and then realised I'd written 8 men and 2 women, I think. I'm certainly going to be a bit more mindful in future. We talked about this before. On that note, if anybody's interested, I am willing to rewrite almost any character in a story to a female role besides 2. So I'll put more about that on the actual Facebook group, which is Audio Drama Production Podcast. Anyway, right, back onto the letter. He goes on about adaptations. I write books. I've studied film production and write scripts. I'm getting into audio drama. The nice thing about working in multiple formats is that I can exploit a single intellectual property in multiple ways. I own the copyrights, so I can turn novels into audio drama. I can turn audio drama into books. I have given myself permission. It's trickier than it seems, however. Not all stories work equally well in all formats. They each have their own strengths. Movies rely on visuals, books rely on characters' internal experiences, and audio drama seems at times closer to theatre than either. So that's yet another skill to master, translating stories from media to media, emphasising the strengths that fit each format. For our production company, our first audio drama was an original. I was able to translate that from an audio script to a short story, and in doing so, ended up with a bit of stronger dialogue that I transposed back to the script. The adaptation process made both versions stronger. Our second project is an adaptation of my next novel, which is still in the process of being written. I'm writing it simultaneously as a book and as a multi-part series, and again, I'm finding that they're informing and improving one another. But the key benefit I see is that I'm getting multiple creative products from the same amount of research and plotting. Find Michael and Kat's website at www.burningbridged.com. The link is in the show notes.
Thanks for that, Michael. And I actually had an email back from him this morning. I'd been chatting to him about maybe getting him and Kat on the podcast at some time in the future. And they've actually created their first audio drama, which I heard this morning, and it was really, really good. I'm well impressed. Well done to you both. And great. You know, great soundscape, great acting, and I was particularly impressed with the balance of the soundscape, because often, and we were very guilty of this, I think, when we started out, you see a big difference in the loud bits and the quiet bits. You know, you're kind of fiddling with the volume all the time, and I thought he'd done an excellent job of making it so that I never had to touch the volume dial, which is a harder thing than it sounds when you're making an audio drama with all these different aspects. You've got music and speech and things like that. So great stuff from you folks, and we really look forward to hearing more from you.
And is that audio drama, can we find that via the website that I just mentioned as well?
I don't think it's online yet. I think it's going to be a sign-up thing. So you sign up to their mailing list and then you'll get the drama. So I'm sure Michael will have more details about that on his site though. So check that out in the show notes. Final email of the week from Steve. He says, "Hi guys, last night I listened to and thoroughly enjoyed the episode on composing music for audio drama. Hearing the perspective and insight from the two Kevins was great, as I don't have any composition ability myself and was curious at how to even go about working with a composer. You and me both, Steve. It must have been on my mind because it somehow morphed into a dream I had of a Matthew I knew who had a lot in common with you, Matthew. This guy was also from Scotland and was a spelunking?
Spelunking instructor. Cave diving and stuff.
Good.
Going down on a rope into caves.
It's my third job.
Spelunking.
He was also a lawn care specialist, did lawn care specialism, I suppose. I'm paraphrasing now for a living. And get this, he was also a big fan of audio drama. Then somehow I was in the mouth of a cave following Matthew downwards as he led a crowd of tourists into a large cavern. I was getting angry at the people for making all the noise and fouling up the ambient cave sound I was trying to record. Then a lawnmower turned on, followed by the Valenhai theme music narrated by Kareem. Then I woke up totally confused and realised that the two Matthews were actually just one Matthew, who has somehow got doubled in my mind. I can't explain the spelunking, but I blame this entire experience on Rich Wentworth and Matthew Boudreau. Rich of Hadron Gospel, or Matthew of Oral Stage Studios. Moral of the story, Steve said, is don't listen to the ADPP just before bed. It's kind of like cheese for the ears, isn't it? The podcast.
I'm just annoyed that I didn't get a mention in the dream.
Yeah, I'm a man of his dreams, quite literally.
Yeah.
And
so much so that he dreamt about you twice.
Yeah.
In the same dream.
There's no place in Steve's dream cave for you, Robert.
What can I say? I'm just a little bit disappointed. But I'll work on it. I'll think about it.
So that's just about it for this week. Just getting things wrapped up. We've been listening to a couple of things this week, Robert. You're knee-deep in the Hadron Gospel Hour at the moment, aren't you?
There's been a few times I've wanted to go online and actually start talking about it, but I didn't want to just go in the Facebook group and say, by the way, this is brilliant. But I did, I wanted to. But I didn't really have a point to it other than just yelling at the top of my voice for the fact that I'd found something I really like that I want to listen to. It is fantastic. The is it Hadron or Hadron? We need to hear from Rich.
I think Hadron, because it was the Hadron Collider, the Large Hadron. I've
heard the Large Hadron Collider. I've heard both, though. That's the thing. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying there's... I don't know. I've been listening to the HGH, and I absolutely love it. I've listened to episode one. There's a couple of clips in there, you know, a couple of sketches that I've listened to time and time again.
Have you got as far as the Dracula one? You ain't no Dracula. I was crying, like actually crying at work, and people were looking at me. I'm just driving about crying with laughter. I want them to make t-shirts that say "You ain't no Dracula," and I'll buy one, and you'll sell one to me. Do that. But what a show! And you're saying you didn't want to just go online and spill your guts out, but
yeah.
I had a wee fanboy moment with Christian at the Once and Future Nerd. I'm listening to that just now. I'm obsessed with it. It's likewise, it's just amazing. And I was like, I can't handle it anymore. I'm going to tell him. So I apologised, and then I just said, I love it. It's brilliant. You're brilliant. I love you. And he blocked me. He didn't block me. He was very nice about it.
Did he say we should maintain a healthy distance in our relationship?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
So yeah, those are the two audio dramas we're pretty much listening to at the moment. I found a podcast that I think you'll like. It's called A Writer's Life. I heard the trailer on the Libsyn podcast, The Feed.
Yeah.
And it's a guy, I think he's an American, Dan Black. You know, you just get I've never heard him, but listening to his podcast, you know, you just listen to someone and you think, I really like that guy, I want him to be my friend. Yeah. He just makes me laugh, he's brilliant. And some of his stuff about writing as well, there's really great content in there about character development and scenes. It's obviously, it's more geared towards writing, you know, novels or books or short stories, although I think he does screenwriting as well, but I think you'd really like it, and he's a funny guy. So
I'll check it out for sure.
I'd put links to that in the show notes. I also found a rabbit podcast called All Ears.
I saw that. When I saw the All Ears podcast, I thought, wait, is this...
Someone's made a fan fiction of our documentary.
Yeah, because we made a documentary called All Ears about modern audio drama. And so I saw that and I saw you liked it. And I saw pictures of rabbits. And this was when I first woke up today. And I'm sort of rubbing my eyes, looking at it, going, What am I looking at here? Why are there rabbits? This isn't even about our audio drama. He can't be listening to a rabbit podcast.
Yeah, just in case the listener's not aware, I have two rabbits, Lucy and Willie. Willie has three legs, Lucy has four. She's a factory settings rabbit, but Willie's been customised.
Right.
Friends of the show, Kessie and Christian, who have just mentioned, are also keen rabbit enthusiasts, so... We're like a niche of a niche of a niche of a niche. It's a niche-ception.
Yeah.
And we are audio dramatists / rabbit fans. So it was great to find the rabbit podcast, the rabbit owners podcast, if anyone likes rabbits. Should I put the link? I don't know if I should put the links to that in the show notes. Just email me and ask me for the link.
Yeah, I think that would have been selfish.
If someone's browsing the website and hasn't heard the show, they'll be like, all right.
This is mental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
they've finally sold out.
Or just go on iTunes or the internet and look for the Rabbit Podcast, the All Ears Rabbit Podcast.
I don't suppose there'll be too many for them to browse through. They'll find it.
No, it's not a flooded market.
Yeah.
So I'm just glad there was one, because it stopped me making one. I really could have done without that.
You know, I'm not as big a rabbit lover as you and Kessie and Christian, but I wouldn't eat rabbit, if you know what I mean, because they're cute animals. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I've got a strange thing.
It's a whole big debate opening up at this time of day on the podcast.
Yeah, I would eat chicken and beef and lamb and stuff, but I wouldn't eat duck and I wouldn't eat rabbit because it's irrational, it's illogical, but there it is.
We're going down a rabbit hole here. Right, we we're going to wrap up there. Scotland are playing Ireland tonight in the old football. It's Saturday, time of recording. I'm going to have a few beers.
Yeah.
I think we're definitely going to win, because Scotland always do. And I might have a wee bet on it. I might have a wee £5 scorecast, 2-1.
Do you really think they're going to win?
No. Scotland, of course we're going to lose.
I was going to say, that's like saying that it won't rain on a summer's day, and we're looking out the window now, and it is raining.
Yeah, Scotland will lose. But still, you know, that's what we do. We set ourselves up to fall, and we fall. Boy, do we fall.
Yeah. Dunfermline, which is where we are just now, and it's where I live, and is the birthplace of Robert the Bruce, who featured in Braveheart. There is a festival here in Dunfermline today for beer.
Is there?
A beer festival.
Are you partaking?
I'm working towards swinging it so that I'm allowed by my family to go there. Because we are going through to my dad's to see him tonight as well, and probably stay the night. So I'm working out a way where I can go to this beer festival. It's in the late afternoon. Then, the thing is, there's a couple of guys from work who are also going to be there, and they're going to go and watch the Scotland-Ireland game straight after it at 5 o'clock. And I'm like, oh, are you really?
I feel a plot brewing here.
Yeah, this could, I don't know, this could develop into something that potentially takes all day. And the festival itself is right next to the bus station, so I could just get the bus through to my dad's afterwards.
Yeah, it feels like you've got it all planned out anyway.
It does, yeah. So that could be my day. I'm actually, as you can tell, dressed for some sort of sport. I was going to go for a jog. If it continues to rain as bad as it is, I probably won't bother and undo all the hard work that I didn't do by going and drinking. That's my weekend in a nutshell.
Right, so we'll leave it there. We won't keep you any longer. As always, please get in touch with us, podcast@audiodramaproduction.com, and visit the website at audiodramaproduction.com, and enjoy your week. If you're going to a beer festival, if you're watching football, if you're caring for your rabbit, or whatever you get up to, I hope you do it with much gusto.
On a final note, I could do with a few more auditions for Worse Than Chains, the Valenhai story. If anybody wants to get in touch about that, please do. Even if you're a woman. That does sound patronising, does it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was holding a mirror up to the fact that it's about women heavy. Women light, sorry. I want more voices, and I'm willing to rip the story up and rewrite it if need be. So please get in touch, because I want to hear from you. And on that note, I bid you
not so fast. You'd think after 50 episodes we'd be pretty competent at this whole podcasting thing by now, but we did neglect to mention right at the end of the episode there three important things that we'd really like you to do. Number one, head over to audiodramaproduction.com. In the show notes for this episode, you'll find a link to the survey we were talking about in the episode, and we'd really, really appreciate it if you could help us out and take that survey, and just like we said in the show itself, help us to create a better experience for you going forward into the next 50 episodes. So link to the survey in the show notes. Also, whilst you're there, take a look at the link to Smashwords, where you'll find the how to create audio drama ebook I mentioned in the show. You could have that for free if you want. If you go on over to Smashwords, you could pay what you like, you could pay nothing at all, or a couple of pounds. It's totally up to you. That offer will be available until the 1st of July. Number three, a thing that will also be available until the 1st of July, we're giving away two books. One of them called Sound Design, the other one called The Art of Voice Acting. These are two books that I used to help me through my dissertation. So we're going to give these books away, these two copies away, to someone at random. There'll be two people that win, two different people, and we'll select the winners at random from the email list. So you need to go over again to audiodramaproduction.com, sign up to our email list, and two people will be selected at random, probably on the 1st of July, and each person will receive a copy in the post of one of these books. So that was it, really. Should have mentioned that at the end of the episode. Didn't. So I've had to come in and record this wee bit of audio. But we really are leaving you now. So thanks for listening, and speak next week.